This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Steve Kemp. Steve is the commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. Steve, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Roger. Glad to be here.
Well, Steve, and we'll get right into the going-ons at FAS and all the things that we've been hearing about in the news and coming this spring. And in particular, I know it's that time of year again. We're getting closer and closer to the GSA Expo. I guess this year it's in San Antonio, May 15th to 17th. What's on the agenda this year? Anything new?
Sure. Well, this year our theme at Expo, which is in San Antonio, is Right Solutions Right Now. So we're going to be highlighting some of the new things coming out at GSA. We've got a keynote speaker again this year. It's Bill Courtney. And if you watch the Oscars, he was the subject of the documentary that won this year called Undefeated. And he's going to be speaking on collaboration and team building. He was a high school football coach. I anticipate people will enjoy that as well. We'll have over 300 no-cost training opportunities for our customers, industry partners to check in on what's new at GSA. We're also doing speed mentoring, which we did last year. We had some people actually show up just for the speed mentoring last year to do short sessions with government executives and share some of their insights with them. And then there's Procurement Professionals Networking event. And again, this year, it's a combined event. The Network Services Conference has been merged into the Expo, so those folks will be there as well with us.
Well, yeah, and I have to confess, I'm going to be given one of those 300 training sessions, so I'm really looking forward to it. I did it when I was at GSA, and since I left GSA, you all have been kind enough to invite me back to do some training, so I appreciate that opportunity. Can you talk a little bit about the philosophy of the Expo? I see it, you know, at GSA, and from my perspective, and granted I'm biased, having worked there for 20 years, but GSA, it seems to me, is always sort of, in some sense, ahead of the curve in terms of collaboration with industry and MythBusters. And here we have a great opportunity for your customers and your folks who serve those customers and industry to all come together to share information about the procurement system. Is that sort of, you know, what you value out of it the most?
Yes. I mean, one of the things that I think is really interesting and essential for us out of the Expo, it's a chance for us to interact with our customers, for us to interact with industry, and for our customers to interact with industry. So you have, you know, everybody there working on the same kinds of things, you know, a lot of training going on, and the opportunity to ask a lot of questions, us asking questions of our customers, checking in with them to see if we're doing the right things, making those connections with industry partners and the customers, and us having some interactions with industry as well. You know, one of the things that we do every year at Expo is we provide opportunities for industry, our customers, to actually have meetings on site. And many of them do.
That's right.
So there's a lot of things going on, a lot of meetings going on outside of the show floor, outside of the training. So it's a really huge opportunity to really make a lot of connections and make things happen. And I think that's one of the real values of the Expo.
Right. And do you have a sense yet of how many folks are going to be coming in terms of your customers or government versus industry?
Yeah, I think we normally expect between 5,000 and 6,000 attendees. It's usually about a 70-30 split between government and industry, and we expect to hit that again, even in tight travel times.
Right.
We think we'll be close to that again this year.
Well, Steve, I know I'm looking forward to the Expo. It's a great event each and every year. Great training, like you just said, a great training event, and a great opportunity for customer agencies to learn more about GSA, but also for customer agencies and industry to learn more about, you know, how to work better together. And that's what it's all about. So, again, it's great. It's a great event. I'm really looking forward to it. And, You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't part of the expo funded out of the industrial funding fee?
Yeah, it's one of the values that we provide. You know, it's all free of charge to our customers. So it's, you know, one of those things that we do to right. help the customers understand what's available and how we
and the training.
We work with them and
right.
the training too.
Right. So, but and then did you know, just to segue here, you know, I know the industrial funding fee has been getting a lot of attention lately. Surprise, surprise. And mm-hmm. first, could you just, for the audience, explain what the industrial funding fee is and what it means to GSA and how GSA, and particularly the Federal Acquisition Service, operates?
Sure. You know, one of the things that's different about the Federal Acquisition Service is we're predominantly a fee-for-service organization. So we do not get any appropriations, and we have to pay our way. So if we don't have any customers or we don't have any clients, we don't have any reason to exist, so we have to pay our own way. So one of the things that we do have is the Acquisition Services Fund. So we're industrially funded. We collect fees for all of the things that we do in order to fund our operations and keep us a going concern.
Right. So, yeah, and so the fee essentially is that management sort of service fee that you are statutorily able to charge your customer agencies to recoup your costs to provide the services you do.
Absolutely, and that's what we try to do is break even every year across our programs.
Right, and so how, you know, just when you look at the fund and what you use it for, can you sort of talk about is it used just for the multiple ward schedule to, you know, fund those operations? Does it go across your entire portfolio? What makes good business sense, and yeah. what have you been doing?
Well, I mean, we manage ourselves like you would manage a conglomerate. You know, we have 20 plus business lines, each of them contributing to the financial health of the organization. So, you know, and you can imagine that if you have multiple business lines, very disparate from each other. So everything from transportation audits and the schedules program and the GWACS program and, you know, global supply, each of them provides some, you know, each of them has their own fees. Each of them contributes to the financial health of the organization. And you can imagine with many of these large programs that, you know, how we price, how we market, how we build the programs. And then, you know, we have a little bit left over sometimes that we use to fund some new initiatives going forward and invest in our systems. And that's really important to us. I mean, one of the things we hear from our customers is, you know, they would like more robust systems. Well, we have to pay for that out of our fees. So those, you know, all of those fees fund mm-hmm. our entire operations.
Now, how, you know, in terms of, you know, you see where it's divided up, how do you sort of manage that fee? Are you are you looking at, you know, the cost and expenses of each business line and, you know, the revenue that they get to try to balance it out? Or do you look, how do you do that on an annual basis?
Well, we have a very long and elaborate process where we look at how we budget ourselves. So, you know, I think much has been made lately of, you know, that we have what number they use, probably about a $600 million reserve. That's how we pay our bills. You know, right. we have around a $10 billion operation. So if you're running at $10 billion a year, you're probably paying out $800 million a year, or excuse me, $800 million a month in going costs, personnel costs, you know, contracting that we do ourselves, contracting that we do for others that goes through the fund. So each month we have bills to pay. We use the Acquisition Services Fund reserve to pay the bills. You know, much like a company would have a checking account, we have the Acquisition Services Funds to fund our ongoing operations.
Right.
So, you know, we need to have that because we don't rely on the U.S. Treasury for that. We're required to be able to pay our bills out of our funds.
And it seems to me that would also, you know, put, since you certainly have to operate sort of on a bottom line basis where you have to have customers willing to utilize you. You've got to be pretty efficient in terms of looking at how you are operating to ensure you don't have any excess costs.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things we look at very carefully every year, how we spend our money on overhead, what we invest in, what we, you know, how we fund our operations, how many people we have. doing certain things. And, you know, we don't have unlimited resources to do everything. So we have to look very carefully at what we can afford to do, what we should be doing to support our customers, and what we need to do to keep our operations going forward and improve ourselves. So we, you know, we have to look at all of those and balance those with what we think is a fair cost to our customers for using us. So, you know, if we price ourselves out of the market, we will price ourselves out of the market. So, you know, there's that tension between, you know, wanting to do everything that people want us to do and what we can actually afford to do that the customers will be willing to pay for.
Right. And, you know, we have to pay for the show right now, so we do have to take a break, Steve. But when we come back, we'll be talking more with Steve Kemp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service. And we'll continue talking a little bit about the industrial funding fee and then transition to talking a little bit about what may be the next contract vehicle that FAS launches, integrations. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
Hi, this is Carl Alsner of the Washington Capitals.
The green light for the linesman. Adam into the Washington zone. Coming down low, the shot, save made, that's it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Buffalo. The Capitals with a win in the shootout, 4-3 over the Sabres.
Catch every minute of Caps hockey right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
What is the information technology strategy for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency? How is the EPA modernizing its technology infrastructure and ensuring its IT investments align with its overall mission? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and so much more with Malcolm Jackson, EPA's Chief Information Officer, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Meeting mission goals through health, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention plan to spend $54 million on a nationwide anti-tobacco campaign. The graphic messages span TV, radio, billboards, bus signs, and print ads, all designed to get smokers to quit and keep young people from starting. CDC says smoking causes 443,000 preventable deaths every year, but its ad spending will be dwarfed by the marketing budget of the tobacco industry, which spends about $10 billion a year.
General Dynamics IT is meeting the challenges of a complex healthcare environment that requires far-reaching experience and full-spectrum capabilities. Government, military, and commercial health payer organizations rely on General Dynamics IT's health services, solutions, and support to tackle their toughest issues. General Dynamics IT's broad understanding of healthcare data, military health
technicians, fraud, waste, and abuse protection, and more ensures support and innovation tailored to your real-world needs. Today's healthcare challenges are formidable. To learn more, go to GDIT.com.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Rising government leaders are registering now to attend Excellence in Government, the nation's only event focused on helping managers achieve more mission for the money. Here, top officials and thought leaders share transformative new ways of operating, network with peers, and join the conversations which are reshaping government. Join your federal colleagues for Excellence in Government, May 7th in Washington, D.C., to get the ideas you need now to transform your agency, your program, and your career. Register today at excellenceingov.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Steve Kemp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. And Steve, when we had to take that break to sort of pay the bills, we were talking about the industrial funding fee and its role. And you talked a little bit about a reserve fund or the Acquisition Services Fund. And I know there's an element of that that's called the Cost and Capital Fund. Can you tell us about what that is? Because I think that's something that your customer agencies and stakeholders you need to get a better understanding of.
Sure, and as I said, we're this industrially funded operation, and at the end of the year, we're supposed to break even. Okay, actually, usually there's a little bit of money left over, which is what we call our net operating result. If we were a company, we would call that our profit. And Congress has allowed us the capability to take that and use that excess and use it in what's called a cost and capital plan, where we take that money and we invest it in capital resources. So for us, it's things like our next generation of systems. A lot of our money goes into that. And I don't
think GSA Advantage,
GSA E-Buy. Advantage, eBuy, all of those things. Right. We've taken some of that money and built training. So we usually use that to make ourselves a better organization, invest in things, capital investments to support our organizations. One of the things that we're looking to do in the next year is build some sort of connection with our customers to get some input from them on what they would like us to do. Because I think we have a sense of where customers'
sure.
needs are, but we want to have a more direct interaction with our customers about where they would like us to invest in the future in our own capital expenses, in our own capital expenditures, about what they would like to see. Because, really, this is their money.
Sure.
It was generated from our customers. So if we do well, we want to make sure that we're taking that and putting it to use in a way that the customers can directly benefit.
Sure.
And we think we do that already, but I'd like to even have a closer connection to our customers around that expenditures, so they feel like they've got some vested interest in continuing to come to GSA.
Okay. And what is that going to look like in terms of that investment, and where are you going to connect with the customers in a better in a fuller way or across?
Well, I think we'd like to have some sort of advisory group from a handful of customers to bounce ideas off us, get ideas about what direction they would like to see GSA go, and opportunities for investment in capital expenditures that would be in line with where they want GSA to go. I think anybody who's in a customer service business always wants to have a good feel for where the customer wants them to go. And it's no right. different when you're talking about our federal customers and what they need going forward. So I'm really looking forward to getting some of that input to make sure we're moving in the right direction in terms of where our customers want us and need us to be.
Well, it seems to me that also could go a long way. One of the issues that I know we hear a lot about out there is contract duplication. I think this sounds like almost it could in a certain sense impact that, as customers are able to provide information to you about how to better align your systems and what you're doing to meet their needs. I think they'd feel less of a need to create in their own contracts, to me.
Absolutely. If you have a healthy, strong GSA and FAS that's actually meeting the customer's needs, less they need to do for themselves and more they can rely on GSA in order to support them and take care of their needs going forward.
Right. And, you know, the schedules is a $40 billion program already. You have the GWACs to do $3 to $4 billion a year. I mean, you have a portfolio of probably over $50 billion worth of work. So clearly, agencies like what you do, but there's always room to get better. And it sounds like you're tackling that straight ahead.
Absolutely. We're working on innovating and keeping ourselves in line with where our customers are going and getting closer to our customers every year. And I think that's one of the things that we've been really focusing in on, particularly over the last year.
Yeah. And one last question on the industrial funding fee. I know it's one of your favorite topics, and that is, can you just, you know, how do you, one of the questions I used to get when I was at GSA is, like, how often do you guys look at this fee? Is it set? You know, back about 6 or 7 years ago, it was lowered from 1% to 0.75%. Are you looking at that fee on a regular basis?
Yeah, we look at that every year. Now, I think the GAO and IG asked us to look at it in a different way, which we will be doing. But I think, you know, one of the things that people need to understand is, you know, particularly as it relates to the schedule, you know, we have some fees which are a little bit more dynamic, like our global supply fees, mm-hmm. That are set as we, you know, put the products out. But with respect to the schedules, one of the things that we have to rely on is the way we collect that fee is actually through the vendors actually remit the fee back to us. One of the things that happens is that those fees are built into each schedule item.
Yes.
So what it is it's structurally aligned with the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were going to change that fee, we would have to go out and change 20 million line items on the schedule with bilateral modifications with each of our schedule holders. Plus, we have 19,000 schedule holders, and they would have to go back in and change their systems each to change that fee structure, and they're reporting back to us. That's a big ask. So that's not one of those pricings that's really allows us to have a very dynamic pricing model. But that actually relates back to what we do with the cost and capital plan. Mm-hmm. As we plan for the next generation in different systems, we're looking at those kinds of things where we would have potentially a different way of contracting, a different way of collecting the fee, where we would have some more flexibility. But given where we are today and our systems, that's not something that we really are in a position to change frequently, because it's a huge issue, and there's a lot of costs associated with that.
Right. And it seems to me, first question would be, is changing it going to cost more than it's worth? Right.
You know, but I also look at that and say, you know, we have not raised that fee in probably 10 years.
Right. You lowered it.
But yeah, we lowered it about 10 years ago. But I think we're doing more for that fee. You know, so we've launched some things like interact.gsa.gov. We've launched some training. We're actually doing some more things with our customers and strategic sourcing. So we're doing more with the fee that we're collecting in support of the customers. So I think the value for what we're providing is going up without actually raising the prices.
Right, and particularly in the training area, that's one area where I've seen over the last few years GSA make, and particularly FAS, make a huge investment to try to help agencies get even more out of GSA's programs.
Right, and a little investment on our front, I think, gives us better results on the back end, which is where the real big spending is actually occurring, not in our fee.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you know, another, you know, future looking program is integrations. And every time I say, I have to confess, every time I say integrations, I think Star Trek. I don't know why. I mean, if it was Next Generation or Generations, a movie, but I always think Star Trek. But where are you planning to boldly go with integrations?
Well, you know, one of the things that I think the government needs is better tools to buy professional services. And I think one of the things that we saw when we've been looking at this, and we have been looking at it admittedly for a couple of years, is that there are some holes, if you will, in our tool set. And one of the things that we decided to embark on is integrations. And I think it will complete some of the fill in some of the gaps that we actually have with respect to our services that we actually provide for the customers. And in that regard, you know, if you're buying IT, you have the GWACs, which do some things differently than the schedules, including being able to do cost-type contracting, a little bit more flexibility as it relates to ODCs and some of the enterprise projects that you can undertake. The problem that we see is that when you get into the area of professional services, there's a gap there.
Okay, and Steve, right now we have to take, you can fill in that gap after the next break, but we do have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be talking more with Steve Kemp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration, and we'll continue our discussion of integrations. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multipurpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"Where this all converges is with the end user. And the end user having a tablet kind of a device or a smartphone needs to have access to any of those types of applications. They don't care where they're running. They just know that from their immediate device, they need to have it and they need the result quickly. And this is where the federated identity management interacts with the application and the data fabric, which interacts with the cloud-based infrastructure, and it all comes together to provide that high-performance, real-time, agile, and secure capability for the end user."
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
Missing the Screen. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Screening tests can find some kinds of cancer early when treatment is more effective, but a look at national survey data for 2010 indicates a good deal of missed opportunities. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, researcher Mary White.
Not all Americans are getting the recommended screenings for breast, cervical, and colorectal cancers, and disparities continue to persist for certain populations.
Asians had the lowest rates for getting the screenings, but scientists at the CDC and the National Cancer Institute say the screening rates in general indicate that the country has a long way to go to meet federal healthy people screening targets for 2020. The findings were in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children is Northern Virginia's only children's hospital, providing extra special care for our region's littlest patients. Each day, they help premature babies thrive, cure the tiniest of hearts, and beat childhood cancers. Help Inova heal our region's children. Join the Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children at the Star Kid 8K on April 22nd. Proceeds support Inova's pediatric heart programs. To learn more and register, go to inova.org/8K.
Congratulations on landing the job! I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview, yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know? The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Computers can search for words very quickly, but when it comes to images, our brains are much better. So engineers are exploring how we can help computers. If you're web surfing for, say, a beautiful or funny-looking picture, search engines have a tough time knowing exactly what you want. So Paul Scheide, a Columbia University biomedical engineer, is monitoring people's brain activity as he shows them pictures at the rate of 10 a second.
You might see an image and realize, ooh, that's interesting. You might not be able to then, in that fraction of a second, really describe it in detail. You just know that it caught your attention.
Scheide says a computer can then match that brain response to a picture and look for similar images.
We know what the brain is good at in terms of visual processing. We know what computers are very good at. Our goal is to create a system that leverages the advantages of both.
Such a combo might be especially useful in high-pressure situations like stock trading or military analysis, where lots of visual information must be analyzed quickly. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Steve Kemp, the Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. And Steve, when we had to break last time, you were about to talk a little bit more about integrations and what some of the goals are that you see and the gaps that it would fill and how to meet customer needs. So I'll let you just open it up and let you go ahead and talk about that.
Sure. And one of the things we're seeing as we've been talking to customers is really looking and seeing that there are some gaps in the marketplace and they're changing customer needs. I mean, I think when you look across the federal community, they're looking at enterprise-wide professional services projects. And those are particularly difficult projects for them to do. So we're seeing requirements that really look at multiple professional services disciplines. So they reach across financial, business systems, IT systems, sometimes logistics and engineering, those kinds of services, and many of them crossing multiple schedules.
Sure.
If you were going to do them under the schedules, and sometimes those requirements are difficult to elaborate and put out on the street. So sometimes they don't really work well in terms of a fixed price environment, and the government's uncomfortable doing them in a time and materials environment. So I think a lot of the agencies are struggling or having to do full and opens around, where they can do cost type contracting. So, we're seeing some needs there that we really can't fulfill given our current
portfolio
of offerings. So that we really wanted to move into this area, and you've seen even OFPP coming out with policy, wanting to control the spend and manage the spend more wisely. This is a particularly difficult contracting arena for contracting officers. And I think a non-commercial offering where we manage what the skill levels look like will help contracting officers really be able to make better comparisons among the vendors, like we see doing in the GWACs for IT, because you see, the same skill levels across the contract. So you can have a better gauge of comparison, both in terms of what you are expecting to get and the prices that you're going to be being bid under the contract.
Well, how does this? So I think you've sort of touched on it a little bit, but for the folks out there, how does it relate to Alliant and Alliant Small Business? And you might want to tell folks what those are if they don't know.
Sure. Well, Alliant and Alliant Small Business are GWACs, so the scope of them is IT. So one thing that will be different about this is this will have a much broader scope. While there will be an IT component to many of the projects being done here, the real focus of this is professional services. So management and business operations, logistics, professional engineering, those kinds of services will be really where this is, financial and business systems, and the interaction with logistics and those kinds of things. Those are a lot of the things that the government is really spending a lot more money on. As it goes forward to take care of its missions and operations. So this will be, I think, a really good contract and tool to help the government meet its mission in some of those critical areas.
Well, it's you know, in your description of it, I sort of got two things that out of it that I get your feedback on. And one, it sounds like you see this as an opportunity to actually reduce contract duplication, you know, where and have this as a as an alternative to agencies creating their own vehicles along these lines. Is that, you know, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that is. So, you know, we're trying to get out ahead and have an actual tool out there so they don't have to do their own multiple award contracts or full and opens. You know, so this will make that contracting a little bit easier. Full and opens, particularly for these large projects, take a long time. If you have a nice, easy to use contract, which we're hoping to have it when we're done with this, it will shorten the time it takes to actually get one of these task orders in place because you have the framework or structure around the contract as you begin.
Okay, and you know, now, and to keep with the Star Trek theme, Steve, I'm going to go move to the quote next generation of schedules, and you know, I have to confess, Star Trek Next Generation was my favorite Star Trek show, and I watched it religiously during the 90s. But now we've got next generation schedules. There's been a lot of talk about it. I know you're going to be coming to the Coalition Spring Conference on April 26th to talk about, you know, the next generation schedules. Can you give us some background or your perspective on it and what you're all thinking about?
Sure. I mean, I think a little history is probably warranted here. You know, when you go back, this generation of schedules, which I think when it was conceived, was called the Evergreen schedules. And what they were you know, basically when an industry partner gets a schedule, they get a base year of 5 years and then 3 5-year options that follow on from that. And, you know, we haven't really changed, while we've changed things around the edges, we haven't really looked at that as a whole and said it's time to sort of revamp and, you know, re-energize the whole schedules program. So what we're doing is we're taking a look at the whole platform of the schedules. And so we're seeing some things that have changed in the last 20 years, as you might imagine. And, you know, we know that, you know, some really important changes have occurred. The government is buying much more services than it did when this was conceived. The government is buying much more complex services. So they're buying solutions. So they're not buying, you know, products and stringing them together. They're actually buying direct services implemented, cloud solutions. All of these kinds of things have emerged. That has really changed, I think, what the government is buying. So we have some opportunities here to focus on some things. So, you know, one of the four tenets we're actually looking at here is really focusing on service delivery, making things a little bit easier for the customer. So, for instance, we have SINs, special item numbers. You don't find them anywhere else in government contracting. Is that wise? You know, so we're looking at things like that.
You don't want to be sinful, right?
No. We're also looking at pricing models and how we would do pricing. You know, think about the advances that we've seen just in the last couple of years on a commercial side, where, you know, you can take your smartphone and look at a, you know, UPC code and you can find out where to buy and what the prices are. So what changes have occurred in the marketplace that would allow for much more dynamic pricing and commercial pricing? And then a third would be we need a little bit more data than I think we're getting right now, or how we collect that data. So I think we need a 21st century data strategy around the schedules. Because our customers are asking us more about, you know, what should things cost? How do we make better comparisons when we're using the schedules and those kinds of things? And then lastly, really looking at simplifying and standardizing the schedules and creating a really dynamic platform, which will allow for things like BPAs and strategic sourcing and some of the more secondary uses of the schedules in order to make them much more flexible for the agencies to use, both in terms of BPAs or just plain solutions that need to be built across multiple schedules and multiple teaming partners, for instance, on the industry side. So how do we make that work better for both our industry partner and our customers in order to get better results? So those are the kinds of things we're really looking to implement as we move forward into designing the next generation of the schedules.
Okay. And right now, Steve, we do have to take a break, but when we return, we'll be talking more with Steve Kemp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service, General Services Administration, and we'll continue talking a little bit about next generation schedules, maybe talk a little strategic sourcing or small business opportunities via the schedules. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Profile America, Tuesday, March 20th. As of 1:14 a.m. this morning, it's spring in the Northern Hemisphere. While celebrated by poets, composers, and artists, people of every age will also be glad to welcome a change in the weather after the long winter. While winter may hang on in spots around the country for a few weeks more, the time is coming for spring rains and soon afterward, a profusion of flowers in an infinite variety of colors. Those whose green thumbs have been itching all winter are anxious to get their hands dirty. 3 out of 10 U.S. households cultivate flowers, and some 1 in 4 have a vegetable garden or take part in landscaping, while close to 1 in 5 plant flower bulbs. 12% maintain a water garden. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Fans, go into the game? Then get the app. Download the official Verizon Center mobile app to your Android, iPhone, or BlackBerry to enhance your in-arena experience. You can locate your favorite food and beverage stands, report issues to guest services during the game, find out about future events at the arena, and much more. To download, text ARENA to 43803 or visit WashingtonCaps.com now.
In the beloved fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Dude, check out my new Pioneer DEH44 car stereo with built-in HD radio technology and new HD2 HD3 channels.
HD2 HD3 channels?
Get with it, man. HD2 HD3 channels are all these new free digital radio channels.
How do I listen to them?
With the new Pioneer DEH44 HD radio receiver. It's only $120 at Walmart.
Walmart? That's cool.
Yeah, just go to HDradio.com and check out the station guide. They're adding new channels all the time.
Learn about HD radio technology at HDradio.com. More radio, more value.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Life's big decisions require some research. You get comparison reports before you buy a car. You hire an inspector when buying a house. You might even look up someone online before a date. But when you go to pick your primary care physician, sometimes you only get a name and number. That hardly seems fair. After all, the only person who has more influence on your health is you. It's different at Kaiser Permanente. All our doctors are listed online with information that paints a picture of who they are, so you know you're picking a doctor who is right for you, right for your family, and someone you can email. Oh, here's one for Dr. Amy Benoulis, who went to Northwestern. Dr. Lindsay Strickland is interested in chronic disease management and is accepting new patients. Bingo! Become a member, and no matter whom you choose, you get a true advocate for your health. So log on to kp.org/doctor and check us out. It could be the beginning of a healthy relationship. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
As cybersecurity threats intensify, federal agencies are reviewing their technology management framework, looking towards increased reliance on continuous monitoring and collaboration. Join AFSEA Bethesda on March 23rd at the Bethesda North Marriott as a panel of chief information security officers from DOT, DOJ, and DOE share their thoughts on how collaborative initiatives will redefine the security spectrum in the coming year. Register today at afseabethesda.org/marbreakfast.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Steve Kempf, the Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. And Steve, when we had to take the break, you were talking about the next generation schedules and the four tenets or four areas you were looking at in terms of making it easier to use and data. And can you give some specific examples of what you guys are looking at potentially doing or talking about doing or dialoguing with customers and industry?
Sure. And we're really just getting started on this. I think I look at this three ways. You know, we have three major audiences here: stakeholders, customers, and industry partners. So let's take them in that order.
Okay.
So, you know, customers, I mean, we're being asked to do more with our customers. So, you know, everything from, you know, designing follow-on products like strategic sourcing, to actually working with them on defining the requirements and training them. So, you know, we're spending a lot of time with customers and understanding some of their frustrations with the schedules, some of their hopes about what a next generation would look like in order to make things easier for them to use. So we're looking at the SIN structure. We're looking at how many schedules we need to have. You know, how many, you know, I think, you know, we have too many. What the SIN structure should look like, or would some other model work better for us? So it's those kinds of things that I think are difficult. When we talk about industry, we want to be easy to do business with. We just launched a supplier management relationship survey, trying to get feedback from industry about what is working, what do we need to do better, what is the value of the relationship with GSA and the schedules program. And then, you know, finally, you know, around that, how do we structure the contract in order to be easy to do business with, so that industry can effectively and efficiently put forth their products and services in a way that's cost efficient and easy for the government to understand. And, you know, how do we make that easy for them to compete and put their best foot forward? And we'll be having a lot of conversations with them as well. And then finally, with our stakeholders, how do we work with, you know, the Hill, OMB, and OFPP about what their goals are? You know, when I look at the schedules program, I mean, we run it, but it is really a valuable tool for the whole federal government. So we're entrusted with taking this, managing it well, and making it a really efficient, well-run program for the benefit of the entire federal government, the contracting community, our customers, and industry. And I think we take that role very seriously and responsibly. And I think what we want to do when we're done is to provide something to that whole community that's very useful and important for them. And we need to get this right.
Right. And well, it is, you know, it is the, you know, single most successful commercial item contracting vehicle. And it seems like whenever the government really wants to accomplish something, whether it's federal strategic sourcing or cloud computing, those kind of things, you know, the schedules is looked to as the key platform to do that. And I think, you know, building on that success and moving forward, we look forward to that conversation and where you're going. Do you have any timelines of when you're going to start, further discussions with industry or with the customer agencies and that sort of thing?
We're really going to be we've already started, and we'll continue to have those conversations. Some of that will be happening at Expo.
Oh, great.
So, you know, more and more people will be hearing and invited to participate. We've already had some conversations with some of our customers, with the stakeholders, and I think we've begun the conversation with industry.
Right. Well, that's great. And I'll remind folks, the Expo is May 15th through 17th in San Antonio this year. And it sounds like it's, you know, between the training, a discussion of next generation, and all the opportunities to engage in a Mythbusters conversation between customers, GSA, and industry, it's a great event. So just a reminder of that. Steve, another area where the schedules, I think, you know, maybe get a bad rap, or you know, the story doesn't get out there enough, is how successful they are for small business. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that this is one of those things that I think we need to do better at GSA, is telling our own story. The Schedules program is one of the most successful small business platforms that the federal government has. I think every year we are in the mid-30s in terms of the percentage of work that actually goes to small business under the Schedules. And I think over 80% of the companies on the Schedules are actually small businesses. One of the things that's really important about that is when we've looked at, if you look at an agency spend, and when they spend under Schedules and when they spend generally, the percentage of their spend is much higher to small business when they use Schedules. And, you know, when you look at the statutory goal of 23%, and we're hitting 34, 35%, sometimes a little higher, sometimes a little bit lower, this is a wildly successful program in terms of actually getting business to small businesses. And I think we don't talk about that enough. I mean, I think if you look just at what we've been doing with veterans, you know, in the last couple of years, we've been tracking SDVOBs. We're over $1 billion in sales to SDVOBs and almost another billion to other small businesses that are veteran owned. So this is really important in terms of how agencies meet their goals, and that when they use their Schedules program, they generally are doing better than in their normal contracting. This is an engine to get business to small business, and we've been wildly successful. One new thing going on is the ability for agencies to discretionary set aside to actually assure that things are going to small business. And we've been having, you know, we've trained agencies on how to do this, and the opportunities for doing this. And we've had some high-level conversations with agencies really looking to set aside some rather large procurements to satisfy this need. And I think that's great.
Yeah, well, it's a step in the right direction. Well, another area, Steve, that I know GSA plays a leading role is federal strategic sourcing. And the latest procurement you have going, right, is the wireless one. Can you tell us where you are on that?
Sure. We're in the evaluation stage right now. We expect to have that contract awarded in April. I think the agencies have been working with us very hard on this, and we expect to have some really good solutions out and available in April, and really looking forward to that. We're also working very hard on some smart buy agreements, looking at commercial software packages, and we'll be doing more with that as we go forward into the summer.
And just a quick question about wireless. I have to ask you, because I tell a story, like, you know, at one point I went from one job to another job. I opened up the desk and there's a couple government phones there. Is that the biggest, you know, in this, that, you know, they were turned in and everything. I turned them in. But, you know, is that the biggest issue with wireless, is trying to get a handle on what the government already has and better acquire what it really needs?
Well, we already have a solution available for that, telecommunication expense management, where we help the agencies manage their plans. And that includes the devices and how many, and turning them off and turning them on, and you know, do you manage the pool of minutes and what kind of rate packages you have, maximizing the spend in order to get better results for the agencies.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that one, Steve. That's great news. But right now, you know, we actually have reached the end of the show, and it's too bad if we could keep talking about Star Trek type things. I don't know, but no, it sounds like there's a lot going on at FAS. You know, with the expo integrations, you know, next generation Schedules, you've got a lot on your plate, and look forward to, you know, having you come back and talk about how, you know, the progress you've made in those. Maybe same time next year, we'll see.
All right. Thank you, Roger. And again, looking forward to seeing everybody at Expo this year, May 15th through 17th in San Antonio.
I want to thank my guest, Steve Kemp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service, General Services Administration, for joining me today. I'm Roger Waldron, and this is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.